The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
How are you this afternoon? If you want to contact the programme about anything that's on your mind, 51551 for texts, or you can send us an email to ray@rte.ie. Jigsaws and sourdough starters and 3D animals and all sorts of things that are keeping us occupied as we're in lockdown. There's a good one. Google 3D animals. This will be a bit of fun for the children and for yourself as well. So you put an animal into Google search and say giant panda. Just underneath the image search results and the Wikipedia description of the panda, you'll be able to see a little box that says meet a life-size giant panda up close. Now you have to stay with this, then click the view in 3D button, then click view in your space. And by the magic of technology, ladies and gentlemen, you can put a giant panda into your sitting room, bedroom, kitchen, garden, wherever you might be in lockdown. And you can send it off to your friends and say, look who we have to keep us entertained during this pandemic, a giant panda. So there it is. So Google 3D animals and follow the instructions. It's pretty straightforward and very entertaining. As is the doodle by Twisted Doodler on the cover of the health supplement of the Irish Times today. Maria Boyle is the lady behind Twisted Doodlers, or Twisted Doodles, I should say. Very funny. We had her in. She wrote a book, well, drew a book, I suppose, The Newborn Identity. N-E-W-B-O-R-N identity. See what she did there. Anyway, on the cover of the health supplement today, there is a woman, a mother with a cup of tea and a little boy about the age of 10. And then the caption reads, Matt's problem. If my conference call, and people working from home will appreciate this, if my conference call with work will go on for 50 minutes and an episode of Captain Underpants lasts 25 minutes, how many times will you ask me for a snack when I've just unmuted my mic? Are you doing maths at home with your children? Yeah, I'm doing maths and I've been reawoken to the delights of equilateral isosceles, triangles and right angles, how to calculate an angle if you have one. It's all very interesting. Of course, then there's the sourdough starter. I know you're probably bored with this, but I was just reading it here. Listen to this. This will tell you how mad it is. So prep time for sourdough starter, 5 minutes, right? And you're going, wow, 5 minutes. I have 5 minutes. Fermentation time, 7 days. Total time, 7 days and 5 minutes. So we're in day four or day five, and I did it. And what you do is you take a bit of the whatever it is, the concoction of flour and water out of the jar. You throw most of it away, put 50 grams of it back into another jar, a new jar, and then add more flour and more water and leave it again. And I didn't realise that the temperature of the kitchen is very important. And that if the temperature isn't just about right scientifically, it could take you 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And there's another complication as well, and it's a pretty serious one. It is putting pressure on my relationship with my wife. She doesn't like the jar and its contents sitting on the counter in the kitchen. She goes, that's sickening me. Do you have to do that? Do you really have to do that? She said to me today. And I said, you're joking, aren't you? It's just a bit of diversion. Just a bit of diversion. And she says, no, I'm sort of going to puke now if you keep doing that. But we worked it out. We cut each other a bit of slack, and that's what we all have to do at this time. I was just thinking about that word, diversion, and it's a sort of an Irish word for distraction. And I've had these chats over the years about life, and that a lot of things in life are just to distract us from the passing of time. And that's been brought into very sharp focus now, isn't it? Because all of those things that we use to distract ourselves aren't available to us anymore. So we can't go shopping. We can't play sports in groups. We can't go to the cinema. We can't visit other people. So we're left to our own devices. And we're going to find out an awful lot about ourselves by the end of this. We'll find out, you know, what makes us tick, what makes us happy, what makes us bored, what excites us. We might find out that we're very good on the piano. We might find out that we like reading when we didn't like reading before. We might find out that we're good bakers. We might find out that the person we're living with isn't the person for us. We might reignite a relationship. And it might be just the tonic to spend quality time with the person we've lived with for years and years and years. But because we were busy doing all those things that distract us, work and shopping and sport and all those things, we haven't looked at this person in a long time in the way we looked at them when we first met them. And all of that is good. All of that is positive. And we have to mind each other and we have to cut each other slack. Hugely important, because this is going to go on for another while. And, you know, we need to keep ourselves well mentally, as well as physically, of course. And we know all the things we have to do to keep ourselves well physically. And they involve cocooning for the over 70s, social distancing, washing our hands, coughing into our elbow, all of those things we know. It's not as straightforward to keep ourselves mentally well, because we all live inside our own heads. So be careful out there. Mind yourselves. If you can, if you're not over 70, get out for some fresh air and some exercise. A huge help. And I don't know about recommending sourdough starter, but at the end of it all, I hope I will have a lovely loaf of sourdough bread, which I'll photograph and post on every social media platform available to me. So day four, day five, or whatever, I've lost count. There it is. We started a jigsaw as well. It's one of those Raven's Burger. I know I was talking to Mary from Gosling Games last week. They make jigsaws as well. But the ones that were available in our shop when we went down a couple of weeks ago when it was open were the Raven's Burger. I think they're a world famous jigsaw. 500 piece Paris street scene. So you have the Eiffel Tower in the background, and then the foreground you have a flower cellar, and then there's lovely Parisian buildings on each side. It's not as easy as I thought it was going to be. I said about last night, putting all the straight edge things to the side, there's probably strategies that people who make jigsaws regularly have. So if you have a strategy and you want to share it with all the people who are making jigsaws, do now. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Today on the All-Ireland quiz, Kerry v Roscommon. Kerry versus Roscommon. So if you were born or live in Kerry or Roscommon, and you want to step up to the plate and fly the flag for your county, call us now, 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. We're looking for participants from Kerry and Roscommon. And if you're wondering who your county are taking on in the All-Ireland quiz, you can go to rte.ie and the first round draw is up there. Now, a couple of requests. Mary and Martin, can you wish our parents, Jack and Josie Napier, in Kilcool in County Wicklow, who were married 50 years ago today in St. Anthony's Church, Kilcool, a very happy wedding anniversary. Happy birthday to you both, Jack and Josie. Hope you have a brilliant day and stay safe. I would just like to say thank you to the people who worked so hard to process all the emergency payments, because the first coronavirus COVID payments were available today. I received mine today, which really helps my family during this time, says Siobhan Groot in County Clare. And could you please wish Margaret Carey in Raheny Community Nursing Home a wonderful 100th birthday from Margaret Cullen, who is with her in Raheny Community Nursing Home, and all the Cullen family. And could you please thank all the staff who are taking great care of our loved ones. We hugely appreciate it. Legra Una Cullen. And of course, they're putting themselves at risk of getting the virus as well by going into work, and we must appreciate that, mustn't we? 51551 ray@rte.ie. I've been running a tricycle online business for 10 years when no bike shop could be bothered with them because they're quite specialist, but we have a big run on them because of the freedom they give, I suppose. Amazing, keep calm. That's Marty at www.trike.ie. My daughter sent us a python snake in her living room and thought it was real. I nearly died with fright, and I'm a granny. That's that's the 3D animals there available on Google. That's Margaret in Galway. How are you doing, Margaret? Can you give us a few evening game suggestions? Jigsaw's done. Scrabble done. Anything. Well, we had that lady Ranook on yesterday who was suggesting the old style hopscotch and things like that. But if anybody else has other ways of distracting yourselves and your children, do offer them up. 51551. As part of your role in cheering up the nation, can you play a comedy clip each day? Now, there's a great idea. That's from Pat and Kerry. Give us a laugh we badly need. Take it as done, Pat. And send us up an invoice for that idea. If I had to wait that long for a starter, I'd be fairly sour, says Nolan Tip. See, when I heard sourdough starter, I thought it was a bit of sourdough bread with something like, you know, a sort of chicken terrine or something on top of it, or a bit of fish. No, but it's the thing that you start your sourdough loaf with. I think you figured that out from the last few days. I'm sticking with it. If nothing else, I'm determined. I was the young lad who didn't have much talent when it came to sport, but I was determined. I was determined. I remember playing rugby, and I was playing under 11s, but the under 13s were short, and as in short of a man, as opposed to short, they were quite tall. And the coach said, "Come on, Darcy, you play on the wing there." For the under 13s, although I was on the under 11 team. And at half time, the referee pulled me aside and he said, "Listen, when you're tackling, you'll have to make an effort to put your arms around the player. Lying down in front of them and them tripping over you isn't enough." So that's, it was determination as opposed to talent. Anyway, 51551, ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. Perfectly formed pop song. And protest song as well. Oh, there's a little rude noise there. Joni Mitchell and Big Yellow Taxi on RT Radio 1. 51551, ray@rte.ie. Why are people bored all the time? Asks this texter. Houses still have to be cleaned, gardens weeded and cleared, dinners cooked and letters written, as well as TV, radio, music. Well, I think over the years, a couple of things have happened. We've filled our lives with distractions and we fear boredom. We fear any time that we have to spare, and we fill it with distractions. Shop, run, walk, listen to music, social media, all that stuff. I've just finished that Paris jigsaw. It has 1,500 pieces in mine. You're right to put out the outline pieces first, then sort out your colours. It's a beautiful jigsaw when it's finished. That's Lynn Durham Rush. Thanks for that, Lynn. And can you play a request from my mum? She's 85 today. Her name is Patsy Mee. She lives in Blackstaff, Inishkeen, County Monaghan. Her and dad are cocooning from Ursula and all the family. Thank you. Happy to do that. Kerry Ann was coming today on our All-Ireland quiz, 1850 715 900. If you're born in or live in either of those counties, that's 1850 715 900.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or you can drop us a text to 51551. Good afternoon, Eamon Dunphy.
Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm grand. Yeah. Absolutely fine.
Yeah. So where are you at? You're in the cocooning category, are you, Eamon?
Yes. I'm over 70 and I'm being cocooned and have to be stay in the house and keep away from other people. Can go for a little walk. But we're working on the podcast, which is we're able to do, and so I'm working, but like a lot of people, very restricted in movement.
Yeah, and the cocooning thing was announced on Friday night by Leo Varadkar, and did that come as a shock to you, or
No, I've been self-isolating, as they call it, for I suppose 2.5 weeks now, because I have an underlying condition which is emphysema. We used to be a heavy smoker. And this is a long respiratory virus, so it's very important that I don't get it. I've been very careful, just going for a little walk, not going to the shops anymore, working away and missing my sport, but you know, it's very, very serious for people. And I'm just looking at the statistics for the people who are looking after the sick, healthcare workers. And I think 1 in 4 of our cases now
are healthcare workers.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at some film from Spain there earlier on where over 8,000 people have died. And healthcare workers there are very angry and they don't have the protection equipment that they need, and that's a massive issue right across Europe now, and I'm sure it's an issue here as well. So there are people in the health care system, doctors, nurses, care workers, porters, cleaners, everyone who's around hospitals, you know, they are literally risking their lives and their health for us. So it's a very serious time for the whole country.
You've been critical about the health service in the past, and they're really stepping up to the plate, and we should be full of gratitude.
Yes, but I mean, the criticism that I and other people have had of our health service is that it's inadequate. We have the lowest per capita intensive care beds in Europe. Mm. We have 250. Now, that's been doubled. The private hospitals are cooperating, and we have, for the purpose of this moment, we have a one-tier health system. But we have, you know, staff shortages. We have bed shortages, even in the best of times. People have to wait a very long time. Over 1 million people waiting for to see a doctor, a consultant, and very long waiting lists. So even in the best of times, our health service is
under pressure.
It's not what it should be. Yeah. And but there's been a magnificent effort by
huge effort
all concerned.
Can I ask you, Eamon, because you're a journalist, right?
Yes.
You're a very curious person. But a lot of mental health people have advised us maybe not to consume as much news as we normally do, because it's going to get in on us. Are you finding that? Because I know you're continuing to do the podcast, The Stand, so you need to keep on top of statistics and information and news.
Yeah.
Is it getting to you in any way? Because it's personal now, isn't it? It's personal.
Yeah, it's not getting to me. I mean, if you have to, if you're a journalist, you have to be aware of what's happening. And, you know, watching television and listening to radio is the only way you can find out. In America, for example, where they've been very slow, there's going to be a terrible tragedy because of the way the government there has approached the problem. Mm. In Britain, similarly, we see, again today, record number of deaths. We know the tragedy of Italy. So we have to be, if you're a journalist and you're working, you have to be on top of all these facts. Other people might find they need escapism, and my escapism would normally be sport, but there isn't any sport. But people watch movies, read books, or do other things.
So what are you doing?
I'm reading a book that I first read 40 years ago.
Okay, right.
It's all yellow and crumbling.
What's the name of the book?
The book is called Enemies of Promise by a man called Cyril Connolly, who was the literary editor of The Observer and was a very distinguished literary figure. So I'm reading his book.
And is it fiction or non-fiction?
Oh, it's non-fiction. It's a biography of an autobiography, rather, of his own life. And he was a failed novelist who became a very distinguished literary journalist. And Enemies of Promise are the various things that can distract people from their work, such as what he described, the pram in the hall. He was against babies and things like that because he felt they got in the way of the work. But it's an interesting book, and I'm obviously watching.
And why did you go back to that? Seems an odd
choice.
Well,
I just wanted to see. I loved it the first time I read it, and it's a book that was published really in the 50s, maybe the 60s. And I just wanted to see if it stood the test of time. One of his ideas about writing a book was his tests for whether a book was any good or not is, would it last 10 years? Right. Would it still be read 10 years afterwards? So it's just an interesting book that I'm sort of... you need something to get lost in. I do agree that you can watch too much news, and it can and will affect people. People will be lonely. They'll be introspective because they'll be thinking about their own situation all the time. And a lot of the things we do, whether it's watch movies or television or sport, are escapism.
Distraction, as I was saying. They're
distraction. Yeah. And sport is the great escapism. And you think whether Liverpool win or not is the biggest deal in your life, or indeed whether the Dubs win or Kerry wins you know, Rory McIlroy wins. And it's great fun. And but when you strip away all that, all the things that we use to distract ourselves and amuse ourselves, and you're left with the bare facts of life, and particularly at a time like this, you can get, it can be depressing, and you need to be in good shape upstairs.
Right? Resilient, yeah, you need
to
be resilient.
Yeah. And most people are, but many people aren't, you know, it's difficult for people.
The emphysema, that's a lung thing, and this
it is, yeah.
This attacks the lung. So,
yes.
Are you the type of person who'd put that in now to Google? Emphysema,
no.
Coronavirus. No, you wouldn't put that
no,
in.
No. I've been well treated by the health service, and I'm not smoking, and I'm fine now. The last time I saw you was in Reinhardt's. I don't do things like that anymore.
I don't think it was. I think it was on the telly, actually.
No,
Eamon,
it was on
honest.
The telly, yeah. The last time I saw you in a social setting.
It was social,
yeah. And I don't know where Jenny was. But anyway.
But Eamon, isn't that mad, though? When you watch telly and you see somebody hugging somebody else, or you see somebody shaking hands, you nearly grimace and you're shouting at the telly, don't do that, you're not allowed to do that.
And yes, it is.
Isn't it mad how quick the new normal takes over?
No, and this has been the most dramatic thing to happen in my lifetime, and I'm sure in yours.
Yes.
It's a mortal threat to everybody. Young people are dying as well. It isn't an 18-year-old died in Britain yesterday who had no underlying health conditions. So this is also going to make people suffer with the loss of their job or their business, and we have no idea how catastrophic the economic consequences will be. There'll certainly be a recession, and there may even be, and some people believe, a depression, which we haven't had since 1929. But we are heading into uncharted territory in all our lifetimes. This is a shocking and virulent virus, and until there's a vaccine, which will probably be, the best estimate is maybe at the end of this year, early next year.
Well, that's the best estimate.
Well,
they were saying autumn 2021.
Yeah, no, there has been a breakthrough. There's an American pharmaceutical company called Johnson & Johnson who are ready to start testing a vaccine in September. So once those trials would be complete, which would probably early next year, then they intend to put this on the market on a not-for-profit basis. So that is news from yesterday. It's
That's
very
encouraging.
Important news.
That's encouraging.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But until there is a vaccine, then our life is not going to be normal. Certainly,
no. My
life isn't. And because this won't go away. I mean, what we're engaged in at the moment is a process of delaying it, flattening the curve, to take the pressure off the health service. But in July, August, September, next winter, this virus could come back again, like the flu. And if you have the condition I have, for example, or if you have other, the many other health conditions that make this a deadly disease. So this problem that we're facing and this threat that we're facing is going to exist for a year or two.
So you're sort of under wraps, so to speak, until a vaccine is available.
Yes. Yeah. There's no way until there is a vaccine that I could feel comfortable and safe mixing with people who may have the virus. I mean, the best way to think about it, as I'm sure everyone knows now, is to believe that you have it yourself and you don't want to give it to anyone, or that the person you're
everybody
in contact
else
with,
has it. Yeah.
Yeah, has yeah, it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
treat yourself as a pariah or everybody else as a pariah.
And I think we need to obviously be thankful to all the people, the medical and health professionals, but also to listen to what they're saying. And I think most Irish people appear to be doing that, but some idiots aren't doing it.
A couple of things. Do you think it's going to be some sort of corrective global measure, that it's going to make us different?
Yes, I think it will. I think it will alter the political landscape, Ray. If you look at the money that we're spending now to try to keep the economy going and also on health. We will be asking the questions when this is over. Why weren't we spending that money on our health service before this ever happened?
Yeah.
I think the idea that's been abroad for the last maybe 15, 20 years, maybe since Margaret Thatcher, that governments should keep out of things and let the market have its way and that the market would solve all our problems. I think that idea may well be seriously questioned, and we're going to realise the importance of the state as a protector of its citizens. And
and more importantly, I think, globally, you know, because this has to be fought at a global level.
Yeah, it's a threat to Europe, right? And the solidarity of the 27 nations that remain in Europe after the UK
Why is it such a threat to Europe?
Because I think, you know, in France, yesterday it emerged that the French had effectively stolen millions of face masks from a ship that was taking them to Italy and Spain. It's every man for himself, or
every country,
for themselves.
Yeah.
Now, if Europe doesn't maintain some solidarity, both in health terms, but more importantly economically, through this period, well then, it's a threat to the European Union. It's certainly a threat to the euro. These are life-changing events. And I think the life-changing events have already begun. Mm. I mean, there are 8,000 Spaniards dead. There's an estimate that between 100,000 and 200,000 Americans will die. And in Italy, the number is about 12,000. Now, nobody forgets that real quick, and nobody forgets the causes of it real quick. So we'll be looking at a new sort of landscape, and we're looking at a recession, right, in this country that could be extremely severe on all kinds of businesses, industries, and people's lives. There are 500,000 people almost who've lost
newly
their job
unemployed,
in Ireland,
yeah,
in the last week.
You would hope that a lot of them would return to work when this passes.
Well, we'll have to see, and we hope that happens, but we'll see. Mm. I wouldn't be optimistic. Yeah.
Just, are you all going out for walks? Because my understanding of cocooning is that you're not allowed out for a walk.
You can go for a little walk, I think. But I think you're right. I probably shouldn't go anywhere.
No,
I exercise at home. I have a bike.
Oh, you exercise at home? No, because
there's half an hour every day.
Oh, do you? Right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can walk in your garden, but
yes,
I don't have the... You have that big garden you have, right?
You're worse than Dustin.
I hope we don't go the way of Dustin. I might... Where's Dustin? When we
it's the
need
same
it?
Lines. It's the same lines, anyway. same scriptwriter, yeah.
I think, I'm not sure exactly what my status is, but I know I'm being cocooned, and I am being cocooned.
No, because there's a story in the Irish Times today, a couple in their 70s, who, and that's specifically what they say, that they, you know, they're missing their walk. They walk for around Malahide every day. I can't remember their names now, but they walk for a mile and a half every day around Malahide, get an espresso on the way back, and that's...
Yeah.
But they can't do that now. That's
right.
Thing.
Well, I mean, we go for a walk in the evening.
And there's nobody
but
else
it's only
about.
Round. No, it's only round the block, really.
Okay.
So, I suppose the guards might pick me up, but I've been there before.
Yeah.
So what's new, guys?
You form, yeah. There you go. They're going to be looking for you now, Eamon. They'll be out and about in Ranelagh.
Yeah, they were always on the lookout for me, but I stopped criticising them.
Eamon, listen, you sound in good spirits, which is
great.
Thank God,
many people.
And the stand with Eamon Dunphy is still rolling away there.
Yeah, it's absolutely flying. We've got nearly 500,000 streams a week, so we're good. And, you know, obviously thinking of all the people who are enduring an awful nightmare, and very grateful, as everybody is, to the nurses, doctors, who are trying to deal with this in very difficult
and the people who are supporting them to do what they do. That's important.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Their families as well. Yeah. You know, we're very lucky, Ray, to be in the business we're in. These people are putting their lives on the line and their hearts on the line. And we can never repay them enough. I hope we won't have any more need for nurses' strikes and doctors, junior doctors striking. We should give them what they deserve, which is respect and a decent
wage.
A decent wage.
Eamon, thanks very much for taking the call. Mind yourself.
And you. And
Jane.
Give my regards to Jenny if you ever go home.
Good luck. Ray. See you. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
65 Roses Day in aid of Cystic Fibrosis Ireland takes place on Friday, 10th of April. Unfortunately, we are unable to sell our roses this year due to COVID-19, so we are asking you to support people with cystic fibrosis instead by donating online at 65rosesday.ie.
At Electric Ireland, we're here to help 1.2 million homes save on their energy costs by lowering prices from the 1st of April. Every customer will benefit, with up to €100 in annual savings for homes with gas and electricity. That's millions more in pockets across the country. On top of lower prices, our customers will still enjoy a discount rate that doesn't disappear. Find out more about what we're doing for our customers at electricireland.ie, because we're brighter together. Prices valid from 1st of April 2020, subject to change. EAB €1,636, based on average annual consumption, urban 24-hour discounted unit rate, standing charge, PSO levy and carbon tax. Residential dual fuel direct debit and online billing. T's and C's apply. See electricireland.ie/EAB. Savings based on annual consumption.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Committed to providing essential services in these challenging times. At All Care, your local community pharmacy.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, a few of your texts that came into 51551. Aidan in Kilkenny says, tips for jigsaw making. Find out the size of the jigsaw from the side of the box and measure your table. Put four marks on the table to show where the corners will be. Aha! That's very clever. Keep them square. Use cereal bowls to separate the pieces, e.g. put all the sky pieces to one side in a bowl. Declutter the table. Only keep a couple of dozen pieces on the table at any time. Now, there you see, there you go. So you find out the measurements, the size of the jigsaw, you mark it out on your table and then start at the corners there. Then you separate all the various skies, grass, flowers, buildings, put them in separate bowls, declutter the whole thing, and you should have it done in hours. That defeats the purpose, I suppose, Aidan, doesn't it? Because you want it to last days. It's no wonder all the kids are bored. If all the adults are so bored, they don't know what to do with themselves. As the lady said, hoovering, dusting, cleaning windows, cooking, etc. Grass cutting, weeding, etc. Teach by example, says that person. I'm here in Portlaw making eclairs for my five-year-old grandson, Charlie. He loves to bake. This is a great way to pass the time. That's from Sarah Cuddy, Portlaw, County Waterford. And say hello to all the Dooley family in Portlaw. And last March, we as a family started a 3,000-piece jigsaw. It was a jungle scene. When we put all the pieces out, it took up 10 feet of the table in our living room. You have a big table. It was intended to keep us awake while we were on fall watch. Finished the jigsaw on April 1st. That's tomorrow, by coincidence. Mare foaled a beautiful colt on April 3rd. It now adorns our living room wall, a reminder of that time. Very enjoyable. Definitely start with the perimeter. Cheers, Mary Johnston. Back in the 80s, my 10-year-old daughter told me, I'm bored. I wrote down that the 12 counties of Leinster told her to go outside and learn them off by heart. She did, and to get to this day, she can rattle them off. She never told me she was bored again. Smart than you, Ross. And ideas for children. Ask children to make up a questionnaire of questions to ask their grandparents, great-grandparents about how life was when they were young. For example, favourite bar, favourite place, favourite song, and get their grandparents to fill them out. That's a brilliant idea. And you can even do the interview over FaceTime or whatever. Now, we got an email or a text in yesterday from Peter Flood, who's living in Sweden, and they're approaching things differently up there. So we said we'd put a call into Peter today, and he's on the line. How are you doing, Peter?
I'm not too bad, Ray. How are you doing?
Good. How long are you in Sweden?
20 years this summer.
And you're originally from Mullingar?
Just outside Mullingar, yeah.
Right. And what do you do up there?
I'm a secondary school teacher. I teach the equivalent of Leaving Cert, history and English.
Right. And why Sweden? How did you end up there?
It's a long story. I did my arts degree in Galway and did a couple of years exchange in university in Germany. And I went back to Galway and then decided to make a make a visit to Sweden, so to speak. It was only supposed to be a year, but a house, two children, and a lovely partner. Later, I'm still here.
Okay. So it was love that kept you there, was it?
You could say that, yeah.
You could say that. You old romantic. You. Now, so you're obviously, have you got people back here?
I've got my mother, my sisters, and my brother, and their families are back in Mullingar, yeah.
So you're on top of the way things are going here with regards to the coronavirus?
I've been following it regularly. I've been following it on the radio and talking to the relatives back home and listening and reading the papers as well.
So how does Sweden compare to Ireland then?
It's definitely a different approach. Lockdown is not something that's even been broached yet. And we're kind of on our own with regards to that. I mean, one of our closest neighbours, Denmark, you could say they're adopting the Irish model. Finland and Norway are not far behind, and then south of us, Germany, it's total lockdowns. But here, it's not quite there yet. There are restrictions, but nowhere close to what we're seeing in the rest of Europe and in the US at the moment.
So what's their thinking? What are the government saying?
They've got a guy employed as they've got an expert employed by the government. He's an expert on pandemics, and his thinking is that we've got it right, but you've got it wrong. And I can't say he's wrong. I can't say he's right. I mean, the mass outbreak that some people have predicted outside Swedish borders. It hasn't really happened yet, but at the same time, per capita, the amount of deaths is rising at a worrying rate.
In Sweden?
But the average age is, yeah, the average age is 82 of those dying.
Okay. Somebody dying is somebody dying. This guy is Anders Tegnell, is it?
He's that's the man, yeah.
Epidemiologist. Yeah. I was reading a bit about him.
Exactly, yeah.
So have you heard the term herd immunity up there?
That's it's not something that he's actually said, but other people who are experts in his field are saying that this is what he's aiming for.
Right. So that let it do its thing, then the population will become immune. Some people will die, but that's going to happen anyway. That's the way he's thinking. Right. Okay. And how is it affecting you?
Well, on a day-to-day basis, not that radically. I don't know, I was thinking about today the best way to describe it. Have you ever heard that Morrissey song, Every Day Is Like Sunday?
Yes, I have. I've been singing it of late, actually, as it happens.
That's what it's like. Think of Ireland in the late 1990s and what a Sunday was like. There wasn't a whole lot to do. Not everything was closed, but still in all, there wasn't a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
So schools are still open.
I teach
at secondary school. Yeah, I teach at secondary school, but the equivalent of, say, junior cert and upwards, we teach them by correspondence now, by Google Conference. So they're not actually in the school building, but the teachers are.
Right, so you go into the school every day?
I do, yeah, and I have to make a commute as well on a train.
And are the trains full? Are the trains full?
No. I walked through a two-carriage train last Friday during the rush hour. I mean, it's 8:20 in the morning. I counted 25 people plus the conductor on the train.
Right, so that's not so many, but still people. And what about
still people? Yeah,
your relations and your mum will tell you about cocooning. That's since last Friday here. Yeah. So people over 70 in Ireland aren't allowed outside the house.
Yeah,
is there a similar thing there? No.
No. The latest ruling that came out today was that no visits allowed at old age homes.
Mm.
And, of course, people over 72 are advised to stay at home, but it's not as strict as in Ireland.
I see the first case was found at the end of January, so a month
ahead
of us.
Yeah, a month after. Yeah, it was a month ahead. Yeah. That's true. So that surprised me when I looked at the statistics a bit closer today.
Mm. I was just saying yesterday that when all of this is over, there will be loads of data to be analysed by scientists, and they will be
hopefully, yeah.
But they will be able to tell, and this is no consolation for anybody really, but they will be able to tell what measures worked and what measures didn't work, because they will have the restrictions from all the countries. They will have the statistics of number of cases, number of deaths, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the government, it's the Swedish government making these decisions, but like the ordinary everyday person and the people in the hospitals, I think they're making pretty wise decisions. Kids are not being, I don't know if your producer told you this, but second primary schools and preschools are not closed. It's still business as usual there.
And you have children?
Yeah, both of them are in school, although the class sizes are about half the size of what they were 2 months ago. And
so parents are making their own decisions?
Yes, parents are staying home with their children. I mean, at the slightest hint of a cough or a runny nose, they're staying at home with their kids. You have an incentive to do that here in Sweden anyway. If your kids are sick, you can stay home with them for a relatively long period of time and still retain 80% of your wage.
Nice, yeah.
But that doesn't help my other half. She's a teacher herself, so she's running into these with runny noses and trying to keep her distance.
And have any of the children in her class been diagnosed with the virus?
Well, there's a little bit of uncertainty about that. There was a pupil who was away for a while, and I think the news gradually trickled back to my wife and her colleagues that there was a case of corona in the family. So that's 2 weeks are gone now, and knock on wood, neither her nor her colleagues or any other kids at that school have shown any symptoms. The child in question is still away from school.
So many times over the years, I've pointed to Sweden for best international practice in various things.
Yes.
You know, they seem to do things well. It'll be interesting to see how all this pans out for them. Peter Flood, originally from Mullingar, mind yourself. Thanks for taking our call today. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Bye now. Thank you.
Bye now. 51551 for your texts, or you can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Here we go. Hey! It's day 7 of our All-Ireland quiz. If you want to see the pairings for the first round, you can go to rte.ie. It's very exciting. Music's very good. Well, very cheesy. At the end of it all, we will have our All-Ireland quiz champions. As you know by now, it's a general knowledge quiz. 5 questions each, 1 point for each correct answer. And a little twist in that the final question can be a goal question, as in a 3-pointer, or a point question, as in a 1-pointer. A nod to our national game. Yeah. And today, Kerry take on Roscommon. Hello, Aoife Dowd, how are you?
Hi, Ray, how's it going?
I was getting lost in James' last there for a moment. whereabouts in the kingdom are you?
Well, I'm not in Kerry, I'm in Dublin, but I'm from Clahan Brandon in County Kerry, so we're in the north part of the Dingle Peninsula.
Ah, the north part of the Dingle Peninsula. That's the north part of the Dingle Peninsula. So you go out the road, right, and where are you in with regards to Dingle itself?
Over the Connor Pass.
Over
the Connor Pass. So you go up to the top of the Connor Pass and that's all Clahan and Brandon, the beautiful
view
below it.
Oh, yeah. What a beautiful part of the country.
It's absolutely spectacular, yeah.
Now, excuse my language, it's a pain in the arse to get on a bike, but when you get there...
when you're up at the top, it's worth it.
It's worth it, yes. I have a selfie of myself there looking all sweaty and red-faced. And what lake is that in the background then of that selfie that I have?
Peddler's Lake, I suppose.
Peddler's Lake it'd be, right, yeah. Peddler's Lake, right. So you're living in Dublin for how long?
I'm living in Dublin with the past 13 years or so.
Right, and what's your story now, today? What are you up to?
Well, I'm working from home. I work for pensions company Irish Life, so big shout out to the gang and PRPU team in Irish Life. They're all listening in because the WhatsApp message group is seriously going all day. So.
And have you worked from home before?
No, not ever.
So
when this all started, it was really just trying to get our heads around what we needed to do, and it's going okay so far. Missed the crack of work, though.
Yeah. Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Do you dress for work, or are you in your...
Oh, I do.
You do? Right, okay.
I have a Kerry top on at the moment.
Oh, do you?
So
that's not really dressing for work.
I was dressed for this quiz as well.
Okay. Have you ever represented your county in anything else?
Oh, no.
No. This is the first. No. This is the first. Okay.
This is the very first.
You're up against Peggy Kelly from Mount Talbot in Roscommon. How are you doing, Peggy?
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. It says here Peggy's of an age where she has to stay in.
Well, I'm nearly there anyhow. I'm very nearly there, but I'm staying in anyhow, you know.
Yeah, you're on the staying in age. Who else is there with you?
Well, my husband Seamus is here.
Yeah.
And that's it. Now we're on our own.
Right. And how are you finding it, Peggy?
Oh, I'm finding it fine. I don't mind, really. I'm busy and I go for walks. I can go for a walk just down the road and into the woods and that's it, really.
Yeah. There's this thing now that the young people are talking about. They call it forest bathing. Have you heard about this?
No.
When I heard of it first, I thought you went into a forest and found a puddle or something like that and got into it. It's not that at all. You go in and just absorb the sounds and the smells of the forest.
All right.
And it's supposed to be hugely good for your mental health.
Right. Well, I could imagine it probably would be nice to clear the mind.
Clear the mind, yeah. Bird song and all that. And what about the grandchildren? How are you communicating with them?
Well, I occasionally drive up as far as the house and I look in and talk to them in over the wall.
Right, okay. Yeah. And
they're gorgeous. I have four grandchildren. They're beautiful. Brona and Seamus and Blaheen and Ava, and they're gorgeous.
And what ages are they?
3 and, Brona is 3 and Seamus is 19 weeks. And Blaheen will be 3 next month and Ava's 16 weeks.
Oh, so two different families.
And they live quite near me.
Isn't that lovely? You have a 19-week-old and a 16-week-old. I can't...
Yeah, isn't it great?
I say you can't wait till this is over now to hold them and smell them and all that thing. And give them a little squish. Give them a little squish.
We love them, sure. Yeah. We love them. Yeah. Yeah, they're lovely, yeah.
And what business are you in, yourself and Seamus?
Well, Seamus is fireman. So right. I'm retired. I was a civil servant and I'm retired now for the last 10 years.
Have you ever represented your county at anything?
No.
No. No, so this is the first. This is the first, right. Okay, so to Aoife and Peggy, it's time for your county anthems. So Aoife, if you could stand up there in your Kerry jersey, have you play a bit of this. Here we go.
Oh no, it was the truth in her eyes, ever dawning, that made me love Mary, the rose of Tralee.
There you go, I'm back in the dome. That brings me right back to the dome. And for you, Peggy, in Mount Talbot in Roscommon, here we go. Hello.
Memories that only you knew. Where are the songs that ring with your praises? The lovely Roscommon will sing them anew.
You!
Every Roscommon man, think of your ancient clan. Gather around us to sing by the name.
There you go, The Men of Roscommon by Dermot O'Brien. And that was Sean Dunphy singing The Rose of Tralee. 5 questions each, Aoife and Peggy. And when we get to the final question, I explain you can go for a 3-pointer or a 1-pointer. Good luck to you both. Whoever answers most questions correctly will be through to the second round. Let's get a bit of tension going. Okay, Aoife, your first question is this. It's a question on the other county.
So,
which famous Hollywood star was born in Boyle County, Roscommon in 1911 and later married John Farrow in 1936?
Maureen O'Hara?
No, it is a Maureen. It's Maureen O'Sullivan. That was a tough one. Okay. Peggy, a Kerry question for you. Which famous silent movie star was a regular visitor to and had a statue erected in his honour in Waterford County, Kerry? Waterville, County Kerry.
Charlie Chaplin.
Is the correct answer. Well done, you would have known that, Aoife. Early days, your second question is this, Aoife. What year did the first Late Late Show air? Was it 1962, 1964 or 1966?
64.
It was 62. It's older than me. And probably older than you as well. Friday the 6th of July, 1962. Okay, Peggy, similar question for you. In what year was the first Late Late Show broadcast in colour? 1976, 1978 or 1980?
76.
Is the correct answer. Yeah, finally went colour in 76. Now you're on 2. Aoife, you have to get on the scoreboard. Hopefully this is your lucky question. Question 3. Which of these is not a bone in the human body? Mandible, tibia or meniscus?
Meniscus.
Is the correct answer. It's cartilage. The tibia is your shin bone and the mandible is your jaw bone. So well done. You're on the scoreboard. Peggy, Similar question for you. Where in the human body would you find bones called phalanges? P-H-A-L-A-N-G-E-S. The ear, the knee, or in your hands? Phalanges.
The hand.
Is the correct answer. Yes. They're the bones that make up your fingers and the hand. So well done. 3 out of 3. Aoife, audio question for you. And remember, Aoife, you have that three-pointer at the end. So all is not lost. This is an audio question. Right, have a listen to this. Okay, that was Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers. Can you name the movie from 1990 starring Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze which featured that song?
Ghost.
Is the correct answer. Right. Now, Peggy, your audio question. Have a listen to this. Okay, that was Berlin with Take My Breath Away. Can you name the movie from 1986 starring Tom Cruise which featured that song? And it is Tom Cruise movie from 1986. Need an answer, Peggy?
Sorry, I don't know that now.
Top Gun. Okay, so 3-2. So Aoife, I have to give you the choice now of a 3-pointer question or a 1-pointer. If you
I'll go for gold.
You go for gold, right? Don't talk to me anymore, Ray. Just give me the question. Okay, fine. Okay, so just to do the maths on it, if you get this right, then you're on 5. Then Peggy is on 3. She has to go for the 3-pointer as well to beat you. Okay, so here we go. Very important question for 3 points. Which of these three has the shortest coastline? Meath, Louth, Leitrim, or Wicklow?
Mead.
No, it's Leitrim.
Oh, it's Leitrim, yeah.
Yeah. 2.5 miles long. Sorry about that.
That's Aoife, all right.
We're going to send you out.
We're
going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show mug.
Thanks a lot, Ray.
And enjoy working from home and keep that Kerry jersey on you. Good luck. See you. Thanks, Aoife. Peggy.
Yes.
You don't have to answer another question. You're through. You're through to the second round. You and Roscommon. Well done, congratulations.
Oh,
yes, yeah.
Oh, thanks very much.
So we'll
Ray,
be talking to you,
you
next week or the week after, if you're available.
Okay, Ray.
Okay, talk
okay,
to you, Peggy.
Pleasure.
Mind yourself.
Thank you.
Real pleasure,
bye
yeah.
Bye now. Mind yourself, yourself.
There you go. And we'll give you details of who's involved in the All Ireland quiz tomorrow after a quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Tomorrow it's Tyrone versus Carlow. And if you want to register your interest, if you're from Tyrone or Carlow, living or born there. That's the qualification. You can get on to allirelandquiz@rte.ie. My mother is 94 years old and we'd like you to wish her a very happy birthday. She's currently in self-isolation and although we'd like nothing more than to give her a great big hug, we'll have to make do with phoning her or speaking to her from outside the house. She's a very special lady and we all adore her. Many thanks. And it's Alwyn, Joyce, Carol and David, our children, Donal, Tom, Jerry and Linda, sons, daughter-in-law, Amy, Sam, Aaron, Grace, Alice, Andrew, Matthew, Nathan and Casey, our grandchildren, and the great-granddaughters, Elsie, Bjug and Isabel. And does it give the woman's name? It doesn't. After all that, there's no name there. So you might get back onto us and give us the name so we can do a proper happy birthday to your mum who's 94. Advice from somebody. I'll be 71 on Friday, so I have had many great ups and some very hard downs. It's called life. Going through one of the hard times, I came to a place of great comfort. Live in the moment. And that has served me so well. I do mean in the moment, not yesterday or tomorrow, just in the moment. All is okay in this moment. That's TGD in Clare. Stay safe. And you too, TG. We live in the country and my two teenagers go out and fill boxes with kippeens, which we use to start the fire. We break them into an ice size, and we'll give them to Granny and whoever else needs them. We only do an hour a day, and I haven't heard any complaints. I'd like to thank all the teachers from PDLS in Bagnallstown. My daughter's in Leave Insert, and her teachers are putting a huge effort into contact the Leave Inserts every day, either online or by phone. They're going over and above, for which I'm very grateful. Thanks to you, I would go bonkers without RTE. I listen from 8 a.m. to bedtime. Take care. That's Angela Nolan in Fina in Carlow. Tyrone and Carlow tomorrow in the All-Ireland Quiz. And that brings us nicely on to Mark Costigan. You might recognise that name. He worked for years in Today FM, and then he was, I think he was the press secretary for the Department of Health or the Minister for Health. He got on to me this morning and he says, I'm helping people out on Bear Island Community Radio. And they're using the radio to help the pupils in the local community school to do their lessons. So they're streaming lessons every morning on the local radio, which is a great help. And he said there was a man on, or a boy on, age 15, Cormac Harrington, this morning, and he recorded a piece that was 5 minutes long explaining his situation, what he's going through at the moment, and he outlined how they're using the various Microsoft team and all that to do their lessons, and he thanked the teachers and all that. And then he went on to say this, and this is 2 minutes of Cormac Harrington, age 15, from the Beara Peninsula. And I said I'd just play this out for you. I went out on Beara Island Community Radio this morning. Cormac.
The statistics have shown that this awful disease affects everybody, regardless of gender, religion or nationality. But it does discriminate against people of different age. Although anybody can contract the virus, the elderly are at the most risk. This has left many of the elderly in our communities immobile. They stay at home, not out of fear of spreading the virus, but out of fear that they could be killed if they go outside. That is why it is up to the rest of us, the students, the healthy young people who can more easily fight the virus, to help the older generations in this struggle. This can be done as easily as delivering their shopping or calling them every day to check in on how they're doing. The feeling of security is something that I think we take for granted. To be truly afraid of that danger that lies just outside your door is a thought I can only imagine. That is why I say to all grandparents listening, you can count on us. All of that birthday money and tinned biscuits you so generously gave us over the years will not go unnoticed. In this difficult time, we all must make sacrifices. I, among others in my year and many more, have had to celebrate their birthdays alone with their families. No friends, no relatives. But in the end, if we manage to stop this hardship in its tracks, it will all be worth it. To finish, I would like to praise the government for responding quickly and effectively in the wake of this pandemic. I would like to thank the Gardaí, who act to keep our communities safe. On behalf of all students in Bear Community School, I would like to thank all of the teachers and extended staff of the school who endeavour to provide us with the education we need. But most of all, I want to extend my most sincere gratitude to the frontline health workers that are actively working to stop this pandemic. And of course, thank you for listening.
There you go. 15-year-old Cormac Harrington from Bear Community School. Speaking on BICR, Bear Island Community Radio, this morning. I think that's not the last you'll have heard of him. There's a politician in the making, or maybe a broadcaster. Elsie Todd is the 94-year-old. Carol forgot to mention her name. She mentioned everybody else, but not Elsie. So happy birthday, Elsie, 94, good age. Mind yourself and stay safe. Now, in the midst of all this, and there's tragedy and there's worry and there's anxiety, but there's also humour. Andrew Stewart is a journalist who works in Manchester, but he's returned to his hometown of Llandudno to get away from the city, I suppose. And he spotted something very odd over the last few nights, and he's on the line now. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm pretty good, yeah. It's been a very odd time round here, because obviously we're all on lockdown as well at the moment. So there's no one about in the street. There's no people. There's no cars. There's nothing. So we've had goats taken over.
Goats. I've watched your video. It's very funny. So Llandudno is whereabouts in Wales?
It's in North Wales. It's right on the North Wales coast. It's a seaside resort. About 20,000 or so people, 22,000 or so people live here. Along the front, it's mainly full of hotels and guest houses, and loads of people come here for a weekend away or a summer break or anything like that.
Yeah.
And we've got goats that live on the Orme, a headland. It's about 600 feet high headland right by the town, and the goats live on the slopes of that. When it gets windy...
Go on. They're wild mountain goats, are they, Andrew?
They are, yeah. They're wild Kashmiri mountain goats. They were a gift to the town in the 1800s from Queen Victoria, I believe. Right. And, yeah, they've lived on the Great Orme ever since. They live up there, but when it gets windy, they come down. They come down from the hills to get a bit of protection from the elements, essentially. But when they get to the bottom of the hills, they don't go any further than sort of the back streets and the very top of the town, because there's people in the way, because there's cars there.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that recently.
So your parents own a pub, do they?
Yes, they do, yeah. So that's where I saw it. I'm living in the pub. I may as well take advantage of that fact. So I was there the other night, and then I saw them running past the window about midnight. Just before midnight it was. And genuinely, I thought I was seeing things, but no, it was goats running down the streets.
Describe them to me, because they're quite impressive looking animals, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they are big beasts. They're probably about 4 or 5 foot high or so, and about 4 foot or so high, and they've got big, big horns on them as well. You wouldn't want to mess with them. They've got magnificent fur as well.
Yeah.
And when they go running through the streets, you really know they are there. You know, they make their presence known, definitely.
Because their hooves on the tarmac, I suppose, make a loud noise.
Yeah, they do, definitely.
Yeah. And what sort of havoc do they wreak while they're down in the town for a visit?
They are eating all the hedgerows. They're snacking on bushes. They're causing the general mayhem. Right? They're running around all the streets. They're blocking. Well, I mean, there's not much traffic around at the moment, to be fair.
Yeah.
But the few cars there are, they are blocking those in. They're just standing in the middle of the road. And they're climbing up on walls. They're climbing up people's houses, pictures that I've seen them doing as well. You know, they are literally, they're climbing on absolutely everything. Because, as I said, they're mountain goats. They're really good at climbing up steep hills. They are now doing it with people's houses and walls.
So who do you call when you see wild mountain goats running through the streets of Llandudno?
Well, this was what puzzled me, because I don't know who you call, especially at midnight. And so I gave the non-emergency number for the local police a call, and they sent someone out. But there's not much they can do. They just have to get them to go back and try and get them back up towards the Orme, really. They will go back up there. They just come down from time to time, and it just so happens that at the moment they're down here probably more often than they're up there, to be honest. The police, they can't do much with it.
It just put wild goats and Llandudno into Google, and you'll get Andrew's video there, and it'll bring a smile to your face. Andrew, mind yourself and stay safe. Thanks for taking our call.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Wild Kashmir goats reaping havoc in Llandudno. A shout out to the great singers of Llandudno. We often go over to sing in the wonderful choir competition along with many Irish choirs. Let's hope the choir will be back soon. Keep safe, says John. And would you play that bird song that you recorded last week for two very good friends of mine, Fred and Fergal and Ranala from Joe and Ranala? I'll do that tomorrow. Who are you going to call? Goat Busters. Yes, I thought he'd give me that line, but he didn't. Goat Busters, yes. And my wife is a regular jigsaw jockey. I didn't know that was an expression. She usually does 1,000-piece jigsaws. It made dinner time a bit awkward. I went to my local wood supply shop, Larry's in Drumcondra. They cut a piece of plywood to a suitable size, leaving room for piles of pieces. I then put a small edging around the board to stop pieces falling off. Now she can lift it off the kitchen table when dinner is ready. Ha ha! Genius. That's Pat and Marino. And can you give a big thanks to ESB Services? We had a power outage earlier and they got it sorted very quickly. One of the most essential services, as without it, many can't work at home. No radio or TV for updates on the coronavirus. No mobile devices can be charged. Fridges and freezers full of food spoiled. Can't cook. No heat, etc., etc. As far as I know, hospitals, etc. have their own generators, but most homes can't survive without electricity these days. So big, big, big. Thanks to the ESB crews, heroes in my opinion. That's it from us. Philip Boucher Hayes is on the way. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.